Hello and welcome back to the Sov Man podcast. We are freshly back from a road trip to Telluride, Colorado, when we spent a night in Santa Fe and some other places. And it was amazing because I have not taken actual time off of work in years, worked on all our vacations. And we had some time to actually rest and relax with the family. And we had about 20 hours total, 25 hours in the car. At least?
Yeah, well, no more, because I think it was 15 hours there and 15 hours back. That's without stops. So that would have been 30 hours if we hadn't stopped. Totally. So it's probably closer to like 40.
The point is we had a lot of time in the car.
Yeah.
And we did talk to a few clients on the road, and because we can't help ourselves and we love what we do. And one of the things that came up, which often comes up, which we want to talk about today, is how men tend to get blindsided when their wives ask for divorce.
Or even when their wives state very, very clearly that they're unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's like, hey, here's the divorce papers, we're over, or hey, I want a trial separation, or I want to sleep in separate bedrooms, or hey, I'm just not happy in the relationship. It tends to really take men by surprise, and we see that constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about why that happens. And I guess what we want to accomplish today is helping men, number one, understand why that happens, and number two, what to do about it. So do you have any thoughts you want to share right off the bat?
Yeah. So, I mean, sorry. Edit this part out for our editor. Well, first of all, it's not out of nowhere. It's not just out of the blue. It's not, you know, it feels like it's shocking. And and how you feel is very, very real. And that pain and that shock is a very real thing. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. But the reality is she has been grieving the loss of the marriage. And she's been, you know, trying to tell you in her very female way for a very long time that this was coming, that she was unhappy, and that there were issues in the marriage. The reality is you, the man, likely didn't understand the hints, and we can get into how women communicate, because it's very different than how men communicate. And that is part of the reason why it feels like such a blow, is just because women aren't as explicit in their explanations of things as men typically are. So that's the first thing I think we want to address, is like it's been building. It's been building for a very, very long time.
Yeah. And what makes this worse, right, is she'll come up and say, you know, whatever she says, I'm unhappy, or I want a divorce, or whatever things you mentioned. And he'll typically get like very hurt, surprised, angry, upset. And then he'll say something to the point of like, this is so out of the blue. Why have you never mentioned this before? And then rather than getting a little bit of empathy in that moment of like incredible pain, she'll typically get upset, right? Because she's like, how could you possibly say I've never mentioned this before? How can you say this is out of the blue? I've been telling you for years. And that's where that crisscross happens, where she thinks she's really clearly communicated what's going wrong in the relationship, and he has genuinely no idea. He might have thought things weren't great. He might have thought, okay, there's obviously some disconnect. We're not sexually connected, or, you know, she doesn't seem to want to spend that much time with me. Might have thought, okay, things aren't very good, but I had no idea it was near that. And that's because she'll have made a lot of subtle comments that he'll have missed.
It might not even be that subtle though.
Like, but even if they're not, he'd probably still miss them.
I think that's where it's either that she's made subtle comments, or she's made passing remarks, or, just made comments here and there that weren't taken seriously because they didn't seem serious, because she didn't approach them seriously, you know, from like a male perspective. But also, and tell me if I'm wrong, Matt, because you're the man here, but from my experience, from our experience working with men and doing this for so long, is men don't seem to really respond until it's like literally blowing up in their face. Is that
Fair to say. Well, and that's kind of how men are. Like we're, and I think this is a wonderful trait that men have, is we're very resilient and we move through problems. And that's an incredible characteristic or character quality to have in a lot of areas in your life, right? It's like, hey, you know, things aren't going well, but I'm going to keep plowing forward. But if you do that too long in the relationship, that gap between you widens to the point where something breaks. And it's often only when something breaks where the guy goes, holy shit, this really is a problem. And part of that is because women can kind of go in and out of connection with that love switch, which we've talked about before. Oh, I'm connected. Oh, I'm not. She'll say, hey, things are terrible. And then, you know, 2 days later, they're on a date and they're having a decent time. And he goes, oh, okay, obviously things aren't that terrible. I don't understand her to begin with. And this doesn't make any sense, but like clearly things aren't that bad. And so we genuinely don't realize it's that bad. And that's one of the first things that I work with our male clients is, okay, let's first figure out what went wrong. And most of the time, these guys who love their wives to death, who would do anything to stay in their kids' lives full time, who like they're losing everything that they love, they're trying really hard to figure out what went wrong and they don't know.
Because she's not consistently angry the entire time leading up to the...
And she's also not communicating in a way that men understand, right? Like she might say, and this is an example I've heard more than once. She might say, you know, a comment like, oh, why do I always have to do all the dishes? Or, hey, did you notice that Jim did all the dishes for Susie, right? And he thinks, oh, that's a little comment about the dishes, not understanding that what she thinks she might be communicating is, I'm drowning, I'm unsupported, and I don't feel like you're showing up for me. And he thinks, oh, she, you know, was annoyed by the dishes. And that's a bit of a trite example, but we've literally had lots of clients where that's exactly what's happening.
But often, though, often, women will say, I feel like exactly what you said. I feel like I'm drowning, the work, da-da. And oftentimes men will like, you know, their analysis of the situation isn't her feeling. And they'll kind of roll their eyes and go, yeah, I get it. Like you're always overwhelmed. What about me? What about what I do? Right? Like that happens too.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, giving guys like a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here, like she'll say, hey, I need more of this. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And then he goes, okay, she said she was unsupported because the kids are having a tough time going to sleep. And now I'm putting the kids to bed. So problem solved.
Right.
Don't have to address that anymore. Not understanding that there's this deeper emotional disconnect. And if it widens for long enough, this is maybe not something a lot of women, maybe not something that all women would agree on, but I think it's absolutely true. If a woman is not getting what she needs in a relationship for long enough, she will pull back from that relationship. And she's likely to also go start seeking what she needs somewhere else. It might be platonic, it might be a full-blown affair, but if she's not getting what she needs, women don't have the same capacity as men to just be unhappy and keep going. Like I know a lot of guys who come to work with us and they might've been unhappy in their marriage for 15 years. They might've not had sex in 6, 7, 8 years. And they have no intent on getting a divorce. Their happiness doesn't even almost factor into it. It's a negative thing. Like men should focus on their happiness in a marriage more, but they don't necessarily equate their own happiness with whether or not they should be in the marriage. But for her, like that is going to happen at some point. Like women can only suffer on an emotional level for so long before they have to do something about it.
Yeah. If the woman feels like she can leave or like she can, because a lot of women, I know there'll be women,
religious reasons
there'll be women listening to this right now being like, oh, that's so untrue. Like that. And like you said, not everyone will agree, but they'll be like, no, you know, I'm in a terrible marriage. I'm in a miserable marriage. Second water. I'm incredibly unhappy and I have been for the last 12 years, but I won't leave because of the kids or because of my religion or because I don't feel like I can. I don't feel safe to. I don't know what I would do. I don't want to be a single mom. Like there are women who do continue to stay. You're right, though, that they will be very aware of their unhappiness and likely be fantasizing about leaving or if how they could or and, if it was possible.
And
to
even
them.
In those cases, like where they can't or they're unwilling to, like they'll leave in other ways, right? They'll you know, air quotes, leave the relationship sexually. Or they'll be completely disconnected or completely, you know, unappreciative. Like they'll mentally check out of the relationship in a big way and stop trying and kind of give up on it. And so going back to what we said before, part of why men get blindsided is when she leaves, almost always she at least thinks she's really communicated clearly why things aren't working and that things are really bad and that she can't, you know, this can't go on forever. But he doesn't, he hasn't heard that. Again, so to be clear, she thinks she communicated this crystal clear. He might have no idea that she was trying to communicate that. So there's this major, major gap. And that just comes down to male-female communication, right? But the worst part of this is when she finally leaves, she like comes alive. She's like, oh, I can finally breathe again. And it's so devastating for men to be like, hey, I just realized she wants to leave me. And she, you know, went out and got her own place, or I moved out and got my own place. And now she's like happy. She's living her best life, air quotes. And she's, you know, I'm looking at her social media and she's hanging out with her friends and she's smiling all the time. And there's this like major relief that she experiences finally being in, out of whatever environment was making her feel, you know, whatever negative emotion she was feeling. And then at that point, he has to start grieving the loss of the relationship. So Alison Armstrong said something like, when she leaves, he begins to grieve, because she's already been grieving the relationship for 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And she grieved the loss of relationship a long time ago and she can no longer handle it. And so when she leaves, it's like, she's already been grieving the loss of relationship for a long time. So when she says bye, she comes alive again and she's happy. And he's there in like the worst moment of his life, losing the woman that he loves. And she's off having like a great time, or at least it looks like she is from the outside.
So how do we, because men come to often come to us when there that blow up has already happened, that, you know, she wants to leave, she's miserable, things are in a really bad place, almost always. Sometimes we get some men who are really proactive who come ahead of time, which that's the best case scenario. I mean, that's where you're going to have,
oh, it's easy,
super easy fixes. But like, how do we convince men or show them that they need to be taking these cues very seriously?
Well, maybe we can start by saying what we do when that's not the case. So when a guy comes to us and he has no idea why she left, and he's like, you know, I was talking to a client earlier today who is one of those rare guys who is not, his wife is not leaving him, that things just aren't great. She was talking about how it can't go on forever, and he listened. He's working with us, and he's saying, him, he's like, man, he's like, I'm looking at some of these guys in the call, and he's like, and they look like ghosts. And these are some of the newer guys who like just joined, their wife just moved out, or they just got served divorce papers. And like, they're like visibly like in a bad place. Like it's heartbreaking to see these guys. Even if you kind of get used to it, like I do, like it's shocking just to look at their faces and see how much pain they're in. And meanwhile, I mean, part of why they're in so much pain is like, she seems to be doing really, really well. So what we then have to do with these guys is, on the first few calls, we're like, okay, we have to figure out what went wrong. We have to figure out what was the message she was communicating to you for the last 2 or 3 years. Even if she did a horrible job of it and she thought that you were like her girlfriends, where she says, I'm fine. You know, because you can say, you know, you're fine to your girlfriend, and your girlfriend knows, no, you're not fine. Like, tell me what's really going on. But when a guy hears I'm fine, we're like, oh, good.
No, you know what that means.
Well, I do, but like, I didn't used to.
Right.
Right. And so what are these little hints that she made that she thinks you understood the emotional context and she thinks you understood the severity and you didn't notice them? And we literally have to do like some Sherlock Holmes work, like digging back through history. And sometimes it takes an hour, because he goes, I have no idea. Like, like things weren't great. And we have to figure out like where this went wrong. What were the comments that she was making that she thought you understood was her saying, this is not sustainable for me, I'm really unhappy. And so if you're living through that right now, start paying attention to those little comments. If she says, I feel unsupported, if she says, look how my friend's husband treats his wife, those are not random comments that she's commenting on the weather. She's trying to communicate something to you. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to tell you, you know, this is not sustainable for me. I'm in a lot of pain and I need you to be able to see my pain. And the only thing you need to do, you don't even need to fix anything. The first thing you need to do is just like see her pain. Like, hey, tell me why you feel unsupported. Tell me why when you saw your friend's husband doing this, that stood out to you. Like, is that something, am I not showing up in that way? How would it make you feel if I showed up in that way? How does it feel that you feel that I don't show up in that way? Just like get curious, because if she can start expressing some of that, then you'll actually start gathering the data that you need to know to go, oh, when she says X, she actually means this. Oh, well, now I can solve
it. So take the things that she's saying to you seriously.
That's a much more succinct way of saying it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And investigate a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and recognize that it is serious. Right. Don't be like I was with us, 7 years ago, whatever it was. Don't be like most of our clients, which is, once you're facing losing everything and this emotional spiraling collapse is happening inside of you, then try to figure out what went wrong. Like, right. If you're getting these little subtle hints, take them seriously, because you only get so many warnings. And every warning that you ignore makes it harder to save the relationship later, right? Like, we've got clients, we've mentioned this a bunch of times, separated, blocked on every platform, living on separate continents, only talking through lawyers, save the relationship, right? It's never too late, but holy hell, is it a lot easier when you're 6 warnings in rather than 200 warnings in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would say, is you really have to pay attention to those signs, take them seriously. And if your relationship is not at a good place and you don't know why, start doing that excavation of the history of like little comments she's made, where she gets unhappy, when she gets upset, and start trying to interpret, okay, what was the underlying emotional reality? And just ask her. And what's a good way for a husband to ask his wife where she's actually likely to open up to him?
Well, showing empathy is empathy always opens doors. I feel like that's like a saying or something, or there's a saying similar to that. And it's just, it's a well-known saying because it's so, so true. If she seems annoyed or upset, don't just roll your eyes or look away or avoid the conflict because you're afraid that she's going to blow up at you for some reason. Men oftentimes are terrified of getting into a disagreement with their partner, and they just want things to be good. And they wait for it to blow over and like, everything's good now, I can chill. And it's like, no, you can't, because you think everything's good right now. And it is for now, but whatever she was upset about is going to linger in her body and in her mind until it's resolved.
What do you mean by linger in her body?
She's not over anything just because she seems like she's okay. Whatever happened, every little thing, this is the thing about women, and it's frustrating, it's annoying, I get it, it doesn't matter. You're married to a woman, deal with it, okay? I'm married to a man, men have things that are not super fun for women to deal with. I don't care, I wanna be with a man, I gotta accept it, okay? So what I mean is, if she's upset about something, like, you know, you pick anything, I don't know, pick a random thing, she's upset about it, she's expressed irritation, anger, whatever. If the issue's not resolved, if whatever got her to that place isn't resolved, and it doesn't have to be resolved in the moment, if you want to take a breather, you want to address it in a week from now, that's fine. But if it's not resolved, what ends up building inside of her is resentment. That's what's building inside of her. That's what stays in her body is this little seed of resentment. And the first seed of resentment isn't that big of a deal. But over the years, you end up with a pile of scenes, like a heavy, heavy bag. Let's call them rocks, okay? And she's just full of these, like, resentment rocks. And she gets to a point where she can no longer live in this relationship, because this relationship means she's embodying a ton, like a physical, like the weight, like let's use a ton, the weight ton of rocks of resentment. And then she gets in her mind, the only way I'm going to be free of these rocks, the only way I'm going to be free of resentment, and the only way I'm going to feel good again is if I get rid of this relationship, because it's this relationship that's causing me to have all this resentment. It's, you know, it's your fault. You're the reason. You're the issue. And the reality is that's not entirely true. Whether or not she learned to remove the rocks from the bag and deal with her resentment, that's on her. But she needs a partner who's able to receive and is able to help her carry that load. And so, for example, if I have a bag of resentment and I need to start addressing it because I was too shy, or I was too afraid, or I was too timid, or I had tried and there wasn't a receiving partner in that regard, I would say it's still my responsibility as the woman to attempt further and to go deeper and to say, again, we don't work with women. I work with women. Matt doesn't, but this is what I teach women, is we have to be very explicit with men. And why I use the word explicit is because that's the most simple word I can use to express the amount of detail and directness that we need for men to understand us. I use the word explicit. So like, hey, this thing you did made me feel X and it caused Y. So like, this thing you did made me feel a certain way, and because of whatever, because I, You know, when I was growing up, my mom did this, and it hurt my feelings, and it reminds me of that. And it's a really, really big deal for me. Basically, really explain why this matters to you, because men love to solve problems and they're super good at addressing things if they can understand the why. And obviously, we try and teach men to just deal with it. Like, if she comes to you, just take it seriously. But that takes a lot of some learning and some skills and some practice and et cetera. I mean, Matt's done the bulk of the work, so you don't really have to go too deep. He just literally shows you the path. Here's how you do it. You go do it. It's pretty simple. But to get back to what I was saying, from the woman's perspective, it's really important that she kind of go through that so that she can start to remove those rocks from the bag and have the healing. But from the man's perspective, I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there.
That's perfect. Like,
but yeah.
That point you made about men understanding things, like, we work with men, so we don't focus on that, right? But you work with women.
Yeah.
And when you're working with women, it's like, hey, if you can get the dude to understand this, he's going to be very likely to be like, hey, yeah, no problem. Let me solve that problem. Let me show up in a different way for you.
Yeah.
It's usually a lack of understanding. So that's why we say the first thing you have to do is understand what went wrong. Because if you understand, you have the data, you can then take corrective action. But because women don't communicate explicitly, you have to do that detective work initially. And the way that this goes wrong is guys start trying to figure it out. They start getting a little bit of information. And then she starts opening up maybe for the first time in a while. And I love that term, resentment rocks. She starts sharing some of the resentment rocks. Actually, probably not. She probably starts sharing a couple specks of sand. She's not going to actually share the rock until she feels safe sharing the little
specks
of sand.
That's right, because that's a place of vulnerability for her. So she then begins to get attached to the rocks. Like they become comforting to her, and she like wants to have
this resentment. Well, you feel your feelings in your body in a way that men don't feel in the same way.
Right.
So you'll like, you identify with your feelings too.
They're yes.
Like our feelings are somewhat separate from us. They're like things we experience, but they're not who we are in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's another tricky difference between men and women, is that like, if you're feeling, well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like if you start sharing a little few specks of your resentment and the guy goes, this doesn't make sense, that's not accurate, you're like, oh, not going to share the rest.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is, if you do start, you know, getting her to open up a little bit, don't do anything that teaches her, oh, I better shut off again. Like, let her share, let her be messy, let her be counterfactual. You can correct her later. And men are like obsessed with the facts, and I get it. And that's how I am too. But I have to catch myself all the time with you when we're in arguments, like, okay, I'm not going to make this argument about the thing you got factually wrong. I can talk to you after we both calm down and we're connected again. I can be like, oh, by the way, when you said 87, it was actually 102, right? And you'll be willing to hear that and you won't even care. But you can't do that in the moment. You have to just let her be messy, because if she can be messy and your response is, I'm really sorry that I hurt you, I'm sorry you've been feeling this way for so long, that must have been really hard on you for the last 6 years to be feeling alone like that and me not reach out to you to make you feel less lonely. I just didn't know you were feeling that way. I really didn't understand. Then she'll go, oh, okay, I can share more. And it's funny for the guys, because if it starts going well, she might ramp up what they perceive as an emotional attack. And so eventually the guy just starts lashing back at her and telling her she's being unfair, she's being ridiculous, everything gets worse. So for the guys that are listening to this, if you are good enough at doing this that she starts opening up to you, the more messy she gets, the more attacky it feels, the better. It's because like then she's actually getting to the rocks.
She's dumping.
Yeah, we call it dumping the bucket in the program.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the guys who understand this concept, they'll get on a call and they'll be like, yeah, I just like haven't got her to dump the bucket yet. And then a guy will get on a call, and I'm thinking of one guy in particular, it's like a week ago, and his face like lit up. He looked kind of haggard, but his face lit up. He's like, I got her to dump the bucket. He's like, it was awful. He's like, I'm still kind of spinning. He's like, and his face kind of fell, and he's like, it's kind of a lot to process, but like she finally dumped the bucket. And because he understands how important that is, like, oh, she's opening up to me. What does it mean when a woman opens up? It means she's getting those rocks out of her body. She can be light again. She can be soft again. She can be connected again. But you have to be man enough to sit in front of that and deal with that emotional storm without getting pouty or butthurt or pissy and fighting back and getting defensive. But if you can do that, then those seeds don't turn into rocks. Then those little comments don't turn into a divorce, right? Instead of moving further and further apart, you can start moving closer and closer together.
Yeah, like address the issues.
And let her do it in her way, because she's not going to bring you an Excel spreadsheet like you want her to and be really logical about all the ways you didn't show up with her. It's like, it's going to be emotional vomit.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, and don't be afraid of the arguments. I know, like, I And again, like I'm speaking generally here because that's, we're speaking to the general masses. We know there are exceptions to this rule, but for the most part, men really tend to avoid getting having conflict with their partner. And that is a recipe for disaster down the line. Have the conflict, get good at the conflict, get good at resolving it. The better, it's not about not fighting or not arguing, it's about getting good at arguing, getting good at having discussions, getting good at fighting, because that means way less down the line and you're avoiding so much pain. You know, we know couples who on the outside seemingly have a very peaceful relationship, and they say it too, or they had said it. We never fight. There's never any issues. She's so calm. He's so whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, we hold our tongue. We don't say anything. Because if you're not arguing, if you're not having issues, like there is so much under the surface that's just boiling and bubbling, and it's going to explode. And maybe it doesn't explode in the way that you see on TV and in these dramatic ways where it's like there's a fight in the street. Maybe that would never happen between the two of you because your personalities are nowhere near that. But things are going to, you know, erupt in one way or another. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, and that's wonderful.
Jerry Springer.
Like part of why men avoid fights, and part of why I spent the first 8-9 years of our relationship very unsuccessfully trying to avoid fights. Because I would try to avoid them and eventually I'd just get pissed and I couldn't handle it anymore. Is like when we were fighting, I always thought the purpose of the fight was to agree about the facts. Like if we can agree that I actually do the dishes more than you think I do, then this fight will go away. If we can agree that, no, I've done a good job at, you know, paying attention to you and taking you out date, and you just see, no, I've actually taken you on more date nights than you realize, then you're going to feel better. And you have to really reframe your understanding, because if you're having a debate about politics with your buddy about, you know, what GDP growth was last year, okay, that's a factual argument. If you're fighting with your wife and she's just trying to get you to see what she's feeling, you're not in the land of facts, you're in the land of feelings. And what you learn is, and sorry if this comes across the wrong way, love you, but it's like trying to logic a 7-year-old girl out of feeling hurt. Right? It's like if our daughter comes to us and her feelings are hurt, and I try to logically explain to her why her feelings aren't going to get, shouldn't be hurt. Like those are two separate worlds and they're not really mixing in that moment. And so guys have to learn when they're fighting, this is not, the resolution of the fight is not going to happen when you agree on the facts. It's going to happen when she feels seen, because once she feels seen, she's going to be really happy to see you. She's going to be really happy to give you what you need. But if she doesn't feel seen and you just correct her and you win 10 times in a row, it's like, trust me, you're not winning in the relationship.
Well, I think you do need to address that a little bit, because there are a lot of men who really push back on this, what they perceive, and you did say 7-year-old, so I understand why you perceive it this way, the infantilization of women. Am I saying that word correctly? Infantilization of women, where it's like, oh, okay, so she's just like an immature little girl, so I'm not supposed to have any respect for her, so, you know, she can't control herself, so she's da-da-da. And they kind of think it's like this absolutely absurd concept, and have a really hard time with that line of reasoning that you just went through. It makes perfect sense to me and to most women who I speak with. When you explain what you mean by that, they're like, "Oh yeah, well yeah, of course we want to be taken care of and protected, and like we are easily hurt. We do all have little girls inside of us, and just like you men all have little boys inside of you." Like I have to stroke the little boy, like the ego of the little boy inside of you. I have to stroke his ego sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
Right? And there's zero.
And I expect you to keep doing that.
Right. And there's, for some reason, that's a concept that most people can understand. They're like, yeah. You know, boys will be boys, turn into men, but they're still kind of little boys. And I think that's why we can forgive so much immature behavior from men, because we recognize that. But as soon as you start referring to women as little girls, there's like a big pushback from a lot of people. And it's like, I think we hold women to this esteem, like we're mothers, and you know, it's sort of like this double standard that women, men and women always have double standards. And in some ways for good reason, I'm grateful that I'm not held to the same standard as you in many, many ways. I don't want to be equal to you in that regard. And you know what I mean by that. I don't want to be expected to go to war. I don't think I would do very well. Right? So I'm not your equal in that way. But we do need to recognize that women while yes, we're so mature and we mature quicker and all these things, we absolutely also have the little girl mentality somewhat inside of us as well that never goes away. In the same way that men have that little boy mentality. I don't know how to communicate that to people where they can really understand it. And it's not about infantilization. It's just what's real.
Well, like, men who expect emotional maturity from their wives have bought into the lie of feminism in the exact same way that, you know, super woke people that they might despise do. Feminism told us not that women can be empowered, incredible women. Feminism told us women can be just like men. And so now there's a whole lot of bitter men who consider themselves anti-feminist who expect women to behave emotionally in the exact same way that men do. And when they don't have the same level of accountability, honor, duty as men, they go, that's a malfunctioning woman. And it's like, no, that is a woman. Right? And how unfair it is to judge your wife by your standards. She has a different psyche, different hormones, different neurochemical levels, like everything is different. And if you expect her to have the same standards as you do when it comes to accountability, honor, duty, you're setting yourself up for massive disappointment. Every girl, one of the unbelievable gifts that a man can give his wife is to be emotionally calm when she's not, is to not get riled up when she's riled up. And, you know, you get a life-threatening disease every month or two, right?
Probably every other month.
Yeah, you got a little bit better. But every other month or two, you know, you scratch your finger getting off the bus. And you're like, I have, not that you ever go on a bus, but whatever. You're like, oh,
yeah, like, wait a minute.
Do I have AIDS? I think I have a headache, you know, and I have to talk you out of that. And if that bothered me and I got upset, it's like, no, like you get riled up about some things and that's an amazing opportunity for me to give you a gift of safety. Just be like, hey, baby, no, you don't have AIDS. Right. And I always joke with you. I'm like, I have a track record of being right 1,713 times in a row about you not having life-threatening disease. This is not the exception. You're fine. And if I was to just argue with you and get all upset, like nothing's going to get better. Right. And just like you coddle the little boy in me when I, you know, whatever, need my ego stroked. When the little girl in you is scared and overreacting and making me into the bad guy, just like our 7-year-old daughter does, I can either get upset and try to convince you logically that you're wrong, which you on some level know you're wrong anyway. It doesn't matter. Like you're going to get there on your own. Or I can just be like, oh, Whitney needs a hug from daddy. And I can just talk to you calmly, tell you it's okay. Hey, I hear you. Oh, sorry. I made you feel that way. I don't have to be threatened by you. I don't have to view you as this big dragon that I have to fight back against. It's like your bark is worse than your bite. I can let you kind of go off the rails a little bit because I know you're going to come back. And I know what you need is a center in that moment. You don't need somebody to argue you out of your feelings. You need me to be grounded and centered in myself when you're not grounded and centered in yourself. And what guys learn really quickly in our program is like, once you've gone through that 3 or 4 times, you've handled it that way. You're like, oh, this actually works. Like she comes back to me soft and appreciative. And often like we had amazing sex for the first time in months or years. It's like, yeah, because she was waiting for the gift of emotional calm that you're in a hormonal situation that makes it easier for you to give to her than it is for her to give to herself sometimes. Like we don't have 1 week a month where we're, you know, emotionally not that stable. You know, we don't catastrophize things. We're not as sensitive to the threat of, you know, danger as you guys are. And if I can offer you the gift of that safety, that's like a gift. That is something that has become exciting for me. Like, I'm like, when you get like that, it's like, oh, I get to take care of her in this moment. And even if you're like making it my fault, I don't have to worry about it because I know, and we've been through this, like I know 20 minutes later, if I'm just nice to you and calm, you're going to tell me all the things I want to hear. And you're going to tell me, well, I didn't actually mean this. And like, it's not that big a deal. And every time you go through that cycle, going through the next time gets easier and it gets shorter. And what used to be fights that would last weeks with us, now they last 7 minutes and we're more connected on the 8th minute than we were, you know, even before that.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, what you said there was really important about not having to be worried about threats. Like women forever have had to be massive threat detectors to not only to protect ourselves, but to protect our children. You know, it's those, that way of being, that internal psyche that or primordial brain that we're operating under or with it doesn't just go away because we now live in a modern society. And even in a modern society, there are so many dangers for women. And so we are constantly feeling, you know, under threat and having to, you know, solve problems and find solutions to those feelings of feeling threatened. And so our nervous systems are wired very differently. We're like, you know, little threat detectors constantly, like little alarms. We're always having to be worried about something and we can't help it. And it's the way we were made. It's the way God made us. It's the way that we were created intentionally because we have, that's the only way we can survive.
Yeah. What's more effective for taking care of a newborn baby? A guy who thinks there's never really a problem, everything's going to be fine, or a woman who's hypersensitive to threat?
Exactly.
Right. That's what keeps infants alive.
Yes.
Right. And so
noticing every little change in the baby's face. I mean, this is how mothers protect their babies from dying of really rare diseases or illnesses.
Yeah, they'll see things before the test.
100%, because we're like paying such close attention.
And sometimes in relationship that makes things way more difficult because you see threats where they don't exist.
Yeah.
And then as we imagine them, because my brain doesn't work that way, I'll be looking at you and like this happens to me sometimes. I'll be like, I know Whitney is like a very intelligent, capable, amazing, incredible person. Why is she so dumb right now? Right. But I used to treat you that way. Mm-hmm. Right. And we used to argue and I'd be like, looking back at it, I thought I was just being reasonable, but looking back, I was such an asshole because I didn't understand that you weren't the same as me. I didn't understand I wasn't married to a man.
Right.
And if you want to be married to a woman, and this is the funniest part about it, is so many of the bitter guys who complain about how problematic women are, they simultaneously complain that they can't find a soft feminine woman. It's like, well, okay, so you expect her to act like a man and you want her to be soft. Right? It's like, okay,
yeah.
Good luck, find that unicorn.
Yeah.
If you want a soft feminine woman, she's going to be feminine.
I mean, you might find that in your mom. Because your relationship with your mother is very different than your relationship with the woman you're in partnership
with. The bitter men brigade have a lot of mummy issues. That is for sure. I have mummy issues myself, had mummy issues. So it's not like I'm looking down on these people, even though I guess I am. But yeah, if you're expecting, a lot of these guys expect their wife to be their mom. And simultaneously, they expect their wife to be sexually attracted to them. And attraction doesn't, in a healthy relationship, run in that direction. So if you want her to not view you as her son and you want her to view you as her husband that she's sexually attracted to, you have to play the role of the husband, which means sometimes when she's a little bit in your mind acting irrationally or fixating on something that doesn't matter, you have to metaphorically or literally wrap your arms around her and say, it's okay, I'm sorry that I hurt you.
Yeah, and some men have had, not the sexual, but they've experienced that relationship with their mom where they've had to do some of the coddling and the nurturing and things like that. And that can make men like a little bit more understanding of the female. But at the end of the day, your mother is still the one in charge. She's still the one responsible for your safety and for your care. So the dynamic is never truly that you're taking care of your mom, even if it feels that way. She gave you life. She carried you. She gave you life. She fed you. She's the reason, if you know, or whoever it was that took care of you, they're the reason that you are alive today and that you're healthy. And she's the one that very likely made tons of sacrifices for you to be in the position that you're in today, whatever position that may be. And so that dynamic is never truly, you know, in the same way that a male female partnership is in, even if you had to play the role of protector or nurturer at some point.
And I joke with our clients all the time, like being a husband is somewhere 30 to 50% being a father. And most marriages that I see, the guy's half husband, half son.
Mm.
And you want to be half husband, half father in a relationship. And does that make you uncomfortable when I say that, or do you agree with that?
No, I know exactly where you're coming from. I would maybe not use the word father because I think it's just the connotation is just a little bit too gross for most people. Even though it's true, I know what you're saying.
Well, speaking of
like
that,
caretaker, provider.
It's a very common thing for women to be like, you know, like.
Oh, they always say daddy and stuff like that?
Yeah.
No, not like because they want their dad.
No, but like in a sexual encounter, women will often do that. Like in like Latinas will often say papi.
Right.
Like it's very common. And like that's not for no reason.
And girls say like daddy, zaddy, baby daddy. But girls do say like, yeah, he's my daddy.
They're not attracted to their dads, no. Obviously. But they're attracted to dad energy. They're attracted to fatherliness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I just wish there was like a word for that. that was like a little bit better than that word.
Well, in modern like woo-woo relationship speak, it's the masculine.
Right, the masculine, right? Yes.
The ordering principle.
Right, but I guess a good way to illustrate it is like dad energy. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, so most men need to switch from being half husband, half son to being half husband, half father.
Right.
And if you understood that your wife needs you to play the role of taking care of her when she's feeling like a little girl, you stop having to look at her as a malfunctioning man. You can look at her for what she is, which is an incredible, beautiful, bright, highly functioning woman who has moments or periods or parts of her cycle where she's not doing that great emotionally and she just needs somebody to be patient and loving.
Mm-hmm.
So we got off the rails a little bit from the original topic, but I think that all helps illustrate the point that if you're having these little signs, pay attention to them. If she's just told you it's over or I'm not in love with you or I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, figure out, okay, where did this disconnect happen? And can I give her the space to talk about it and bring that fatherly energy to the conversation where I'm not looking at her as a threat that I have to argue with and defeat in order to be safe, but I'm looking at her as a little girl who needs love and curiosity.
Well, I think one big part of that too, that is really hard for a lot of people to fathom, even though people say it, but I don't think really mean it, they have to mean it, is unconditional love.
Yeah.
Truly unconditional love. And I think that is part of that fatherly, you know, component. And a lot of people can't even say that if they look at what it really means to love someone unconditionally, it means without condition. It means there's nothing that person can do where you stop loving them. That's pretty tough for most people to say or to accept or to believe. But that's what women are looking for.
Yeah. And this maybe is a good place to end it. A lot of guys are in a situation in the relationship where they're not getting regular sex or any sex, or they're getting duty booty and not like connected energetic sex. If you want her to open her body to you in that way, let her open her heart, because you know, you won't necessarily be able to get her to open her heart. That's sometimes hard to do, but I guarantee you, if you get her to open her heart, she will open up her body also. So if you want to do that, that unconditional love means you can be messy in front of me. And this is something that you, in our, you know, marriage 1.0, you couldn't do. But now I would say you feel very kind of unashamed of being emotionally messy in front of me. Would that be accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe this is where we'll end. What does it feel like for you when you get to be messy in front of me and I don't get defensive or fazed by it?
Well, it in part feels like unconditional. I can just be truly me in all the ways, and there's no, you're not going anywhere. So it's very safe.
So safe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you can make your wife feel safe, she's not going anywhere. So we'll end it there.